I normally on Palm Sunday, as it is, and remembering the Passion Week, many times I'll preach something about that. But God direct me in a different direction, and I kind of argued with the Lord, but He said, "No, you preach this," and so I will obey the Lord. And the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Amen. If you weren't so simple.
Yeah, that's right. Even the simple can understand. Amen. That's why you're here.
Touché.
Amen.
Touché.
It can go around, you know. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4, please. Verse 7. If you don't have it outlined in your Bible, you should by now. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Now turn to the book of Proverbs in the end of the book, chapter 30. Second to the last chapter in the book of Proverbs. By the way, it is called the Book of Wisdom. And so it is, all of these wise proverbs that are listed. Great book to study all the time. And chapter 30 is a great chapter as well. It lists out all kinds of illustrations, but we'll concentrate on one this morning. Beginning in verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. So do you think we're going down the right path? Wisdom? The answer of people not strong, that they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. Verse 24 says there's four things. So I'd like to preach this morning a little wisdom. Heavenly Father, bless in the preaching of your word. I pray every ear and heart would be open, and that we might have the right spirit, an accepting spirit, for the preaching of the word of God, not a rebellious spirit, but one that wants to obey you and do the right thing within our lives. May our lives change as you work through your word again this morning. Thank you for those that are here. Nothing's an accident with you. Continue your leading with all of us. Teach us the word of God this morning, Holy Spirit, as you promised. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wisdom. What's that? Wisdom is to see things like God sees. See things like God sees. can't get wiser than that, putting yourself so close to God that you can see the world and things in your life and things around your life as God sees it. There's character. Wisdom builds character. We need that. You won't find the word character in the Bible, but you will find integrity, which is the same thing. You see that God uses integrity all the way through. That's another message completely. But character is by doing right by discipline and repetition. You get character by doing right by discipline and repetition. Hardly any of us do things consistently within our life. We might have the right intentions, but then we don't follow through on that. We're not consistent. The point of reading through the Bible in a year. Back on January 1st, we had the right intentions of reading the Bible through in a year, but some of us maybe have lapsed on all of that, and you're not consistent on what you said you would do, and so that's not wise. Anything like that. So we desperately need wisdom in our lives, no matter who we are, no matter what we're going through, for sure. And if you do something consistently, it means you're developing a habit. I preach against bad habits, but you need to have some good habits in your life. Good, godly habits. And be consistent about it. That'll develop character in you, and that's where wisdom comes from. As well. Kind of boils down to a lack of character will keep you from getting more character. You just don't automatically one day get character. No, you work, do you not, on being consistent and seeing things the way God sees them. That means you got to have your nose in the book. And use the character that you have to get what you need. Use what I have to get what I need. It's called spiritual growth. You keep on getting stronger and stronger, wiser and wiser, more character. People can trust you. You have to earn trust. Maybe you weren't trustworthy at some point in your life. You're going to have to earn that trust back. And you can. God forgives sin no matter what the sin is. It has to be prefaced with repentance, does it not? A true changing of your heart, confession of your sin, and God will forgive, the Bible says. God never intended for you to be saved and just sit around. He never intended for you to have the same spiritual state as you have year after year. So character dictates going forward or stagnating. A lot of Christians are stagnant. They're not really backsliding, but they aren't going forward. They're not growing. Do new things for God. You're going to have some character to do that. Gonna have to have some wisdom to do that. And so God says that's the principal thing, wisdom. We just read it. Principal thing in life. Use wisdom. Because if you're wise, you'll reach out and trust Christ and get saved. If you use wisdom, you do the things that God tells you to do now that you are a child of God. Not if you want to, or it fits into your sweet spot in life, you know. Wouldn't really want any sacrifice or anything like that involved. Well, Christianity, as you read the Bible, involves sacrifice from the first day. This world hates God. Yes, America hates God.
Amen.
And so it applies that we need to be the ones that have the wisdom to be able to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, no matter what comes. When you stand against the world, bad things will come your way, but we'll find out that God takes care of that too. The devil comes up to you and says, nah, you're okay. But it comes down to a successful Christian life. Obey God if it's not enjoyable. Because the outcome will be enjoyable. Hard work to do any kind of project or whatever you do in life or work. You got to work hard. But boy, when it's all finished, wow. Look at what I made. Look at what I fixed. You say to yourself. You get the pleasure of that. And that's what the Christian life is as well. God guiding you and giving you all of the power and so forth, but you got to be open to wisdom and starting to grow your character into a Christ-like character. When I was a little kid, I didn't have a taste for certain food. I shied away, at least I said I wouldn't eat it, but I ate it anyway. Mom and Dad made sure of that. But you know, as I grew, now I have a taste for those things. Amazing how that works. See, there had to be discipline and there had to be repetition. And so, praise the Lord that God didn't give up on me and my parents didn't give up on me either. But you see, my dad provided the discipline. And I provided the repetition to eat that thing over and over again. And so it'll be in your life as well. Wisdom and character are joined together, as we see. The first thing that it points out here in our text in Proverbs 30 is verse 25. A little creature, normally black, but it could be a red or whatever. The ant. Boy, God uses things we never think he'd use. But he does, because he created everything, no matter how small it is. I mean, even under a microscope, you see different things in your blood or different things and things that you can't see with the naked eye. Guess what? God made that. But you couldn't see it. But it's happening because God created everything. In verse 25, it says, the ants are a people and they're not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So what's the first lesson that we learn from this? By the way, I've preached on this passage of Scripture before in another message. This is not that message. This is what God has led me to preach this morning adding many things to it as we grow in the Lord. It takes character to prepare. Prepare. Why would you prepare? When God says, this is the example, that end, to prepare. You prepare because you're not sure what's going to come to pass in your life. So you prepare for that thing. On the other hand, you may know something's going to happen. So you prepare for that. A lot of Christians don't prepare. Preparation isn't even in their thoughts. They just live from day to day and so forth. Now that's a worldly philosophy. Christian life, the Bible teaches a structured, wise life, preparing for things to come. If we're wise, we get life insurance. Why? Because you know you're going to die one of these days. You don't know when or how. But it's still, the odds are still 1 to 1 that you're going to die. Okay? Everybody does it. So you try to get yourself in a position where you can afford to have some kind of life insurance to be able to leave to your loved ones, your family, and so forth. Because Proverbs 27:1, what's it say? Anybody know it? Boast. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day brings forth. So you prepare, because you don't know what's going to happen. You get car insurance. You don't know if you're going to get in an accident or somebody's going to hit you or what's going on. Have you prepared? It's pretty bad when New York State or any state where the government has to go ahead and make you have insurance on your car or inspect your car. We Christians should be way ahead of that because we got wisdom. You know, if God's given you a car, take care of it. Keep it in good operation and so forth. Same as house or anything else. You get house insurance too because you don't know. And so that's not fear, that's wisdom. The Bible teaches it. What's a saint doing? It's preparing for winter. See it there in verse 25. They prepare their meat in the summertime when they can. They can't do it in the winter. So they go ahead and do it. It's a principle, a Bible principle of preparation. What you should do on Sundays when you come to church. Most of you, I would think, do that. You get up, you shower, you dress, you get ready, you prepare to come to church and to be 15 minutes early and be able to come to the service so it's right and you can fellowship with people and so forth and not disturb, but go ahead and grow in the things of God more and more. There has to be preparation to be a good testimony and please God and show that you have some character about you. People can trust you. You have some wisdom because wisdom's the principal thing. We have We prepare because Satan attacks you. Satan attacks you. If you're saved, you know that. And he uses all kinds of different ways to get at you. He lies to you all the time. Can't trust the TV or the government or politicians or... Okay. Everybody's a liar. That's why I love the Bible. It's the only book that is truth, every word of it. Thy word is truth. Hardships come your way. Are you prepared for those hardships that are going to come your way? Do you have some finances put aside? Just because you come into some money or whatever, go out and spend it. You put it aside. You invest it. Matthew chapter 25. God was angry with the guy that just buried it in the ground because he was afraid that he'd lose it. Use some wisdom within your life. An ant, it can't bear a lot of weight as it carries its food, preparing for winter. So he has to make many trips back and forth to get everything put away in time when winter comes. Are you as smart as an ant? Huh? This is to teach us wisdom. We need to start far enough in advance. And that's what an ant does. All summer long you see ants. You would never step on one. But God uses it. What did Jesus say? In John 14, I go to, wow, when the Son of God prepares, I mean, you got the best example in front of you, Jesus Christ. He says that the bugs even have enough smarts to do that. So the ant is never caught by surprise. You know, some of us Christians, we kind of, as long as everything's going calm and easy and everything's okay, but boy, let the storm come. And we're not prepared for it. Bible in Proverbs, it talks about a fool. Or Ecclesiastes, he walks by and everything's full of nettles and run down and vines are, you know, in disarray and the whole deal. He's talking about someone that's slothful, he's lazy. He's not wise in any way, shape, or form. So don't be caught by surprise. You can do this. God never tells you can't to do something and you can't physically do it. God knows what you can do and what you can't do. And Paul came to the place where he was beat up. His body was beat up and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. So we better get wisdom within our life through an ant. What are we made out of? How did God create us? Out of dust, did he not? How much strength does dust have? No, you need God. You need God. You do not have the strength. And that's what it says in the verse. It's not strong. But he goes ahead and does it anyway. He doesn't make up, you know, a bunch of excuses. In Luke 3:4, it says John the Baptist, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord to make his paths straight. Even Jesus coming to his ministry to be baptized by John. John came first, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's preparation. When you try to lead somebody to the Lord, you better be talking about repentance. You better be talking about sin, first of all. Getting saved is not saying, would you just like to ask Jesus into your heart? And everything's going to be okay. That's not salvation in any way, shape, or form. Every preacher was preaching repentance first. Repent, be baptized, Acts 2:38. Baptism that didn't have anything to do with the sin being taken away, that Church of Christ stuff. The power is in the faith you put in Jesus Christ about what he did for you. He said it's finished, don't add to it. For sure. And that's what he did this week. That we're thinking about, for sure. Listen, we need to prepare. It's the Bible tells us to put on some armor, does it not? Hey, it's too late to put on the helmet after you've been beaten the head. You put the helmet on ahead of time. Oh, the preacher said put the helmet on, but I didn't. Is that wisdom? Is that wisdom? Not to listen to the preacher that's preaching from a King James Version, all truth, every word, pure Bible. A lot of us become fools real quick. It's too late to gird up your loins when you lose moral purity because you didn't gird up your loins. The bug is smarter than you are. The Holy Spirit should show all of this to us this morning, that you can apply to your life and change your life. Let's go on to the next one. That'd be verse 26. Because he says there, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. We're not familiar with conies. There's many different kind of conies around the world, but the one over in Bible land, it's probably talking about the rock rabbit. It's a little rodent. That's all it is. And God uses this thing for an example of wisdom. What does he do? Verse 26. Because they're feeble, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Why do you go inside a house? Protection. Protection from the weather, the heat or the cold or whatever it is, right? And so the first example of the ant, that speaks about preparation. And here the conies, it speaks about protection. Defense. Look at Psalm, keep your place, go to Psalm 18, please. Psalm 18. Got to move right along here. Psalm Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Isn't it amazing? Everything in that verse is talking about defense. Not fighting back, running into the rock. Your defense is in God. Peter isn't a rock, God's the rock. Always has been. So it's teaching us that this one, the coney, he doesn't fight back. He runs for protection. You need to have protection in your life. Protect yourself. It's not talking about running away from trouble or anything, but it's talking about not being a fool. The wise will get away from it. You run into the rock. When you got something that's overbearing on you, call out to God. Run to the rock, brother. The conies do that, and he says, that's wise. He said there were four things. They're exceeding wise in verse 24, so we know that's wise to do. You're right there in Psalm. Go to 61. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. So here's the same thing. It's wise to go to God. He'll give you some wisdom about it all. You say, Pastor, you're not supposed to fight back. When Paul said, I fought a good fight, in that context, he's talking about faith. I've kept the faith. What is faith? Faith is dependency on God and expectancy from God. That's what faith is. You have all of your dependency on God when you come to the Lord Jesus, get saved. You're putting yourself dependent upon God. You can't save yourself. Nobody else can save you. You got to come to Him. That's what faith is. And then you expect certain things from God. Why? Because He promised them to you. You have enough faith to believe that. That's what faith is. When he said, I fought a good fight, kept the faith. But first of all, he retreats. Now get this. Something's after this rodent. And so he scampers over to the cleft of the rock and hides himself. Anything that's after that rodent has to hit the rock first. You'll hit God first, but you're safe. You think God can take care of himself? Yeah, I guess so. The rock that is higher than I, amen. God, let God take care of the enemies. That's the wisest thing to do. The good fight is not evil, an evil fight, a vicious fight. You're supposed to have truth to help people, not hurt people. You're talking about fighting of flesh. A lot of Christians get in the flesh and they get themselves in big trouble. They should have went ahead and ran to the rock, brother. Just like the coney. That little rodent has more brains than you do. He's got more faith than you do. He's got more wisdom than you do. Because God's using him as the example. And you don't fight back with your tongue either. Christians get in the flesh and everything and spew poison all over everybody. The wisdom is no retaliation. My defense is not to hurt, but to flee to the rock. That's where your presence needs to be. Trust him. Character in a Christian is not to fight. It's self-control. Refrain. Now that doesn't mean that you do not defend yourself or your family. Because sometimes you can't get to any kind of protection, and God has made us wise enough to be able to protect our family. Nobody's gonna come after my wife or my children when they were in the home or anything else, you know. Don't try to break into my house. That is not a wise thing to do. They'll carry you out. Okay? It's not saying that. It's saying, don't jump the gun. Go to God. Prepare. That's what I've done with, and some of you have done that to prepare about your house. You lock the windows. You lock the doors. You put up stuff, whatever is necessary. Amen. Then it goes on in verse 27 as we hurry. The locusts, they have no king, yet they go forth all by bands. Isn't that funny that God would take a bug again, a locust, to teach us wisdom? That locust, it does not have a leader. The locust doesn't have any commander. But they go. How much character do you have? God has put a leader over you as a pastor. But I can't be there at your side all the time and watch it out for you and everything in your life. You have to learn the character here in God's house through the Word of God, that you can live a life and get character and be wise and prepare and protect yourself. That's what God is saying right there. And right here, that you're finding unity even when there isn't a person over you. In other words, you're not driven by a leader. You are driven by principle. Live by Bible principles as you see them and study them and hear them preach to you. A locust, that thing is a nuisance. God uses these examples. You can't believe he's using these examples to teach us wisdom. A locust is wiser than we are. You see, the rallying point is truth, not personality. And that's what a lot of Christians do too. They follow personalities. No, follow truth. Follow truth. That's happening to one of my best friends right now. Following personality rather than truth. You got to watch out. Doesn't matter how good you have been. You can lose that wisdom. You can lose that character. You can backslide so far that you don't know what's going on. Very dangerous for you to make decisions when you're vulnerable like that in a backslidden condition. The only right decision you need to do is repent. Come back to God. Seek the truth. Not somebody that has a great personality or something. You remember David and Goliath. David, just a teenager. Everybody else was standing around. David didn't have a leader. The leader wouldn't do anything. He said, "What are you standing here listening to this guy curse my God for over a month? Isn't there a cause to make you move?" He said, "Forget it. I got a sling. I'll take care of this." Just like a little locust, no leader. He got the job done. That's wisdom. And he was wise. He was the greatest king that Israel ever had. And so, wise leaders can fall and do wrong too. But you know, Amos 3:3 tells us, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And they all agreed together. This swarm, this band of locusts, in the Bible many times, they would darken the sky. There were so many of them. And they come down on a field of crops. And it only took a little while, half hour, an hour. And they're gone. And so is everything that you planted. Just like that. So anyway, learn their unity. Learn a principle. They were guided by principle. The last thing I try to hurry is in verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. Amen. God uses the lowly spider. Now, a spider is not welcome anywhere. Nobody wants a spider around. Okay? We go to great lengths to knock down the webs and everything and scare the spider away and all of this kind of stuff. He's an intruder. But you know what? It says here he's in king's palaces. That spider has enough wisdom to aim high. And then have perseverance. That's what the spider teaches in wisdom. Perseverance. You knock the web down, and sure enough, a couple days later, you got the web back up. It's perseverance that's being taught here. What a wonderful thing. Keep on keeping on. Persevere through anything. Don't throw up your hand and say, "I give up." Boy, if I attempted to do that how many times in my life, I'll guarantee you. Things you don't even know about. But that's fine. You got to learn to have character and have perseverance. You knock me down, I'm going to get up. Whatever it is, however it is. If I build something and you knock it down, I'll rebuild it. Continuance. Continuing on. It's a test of character what you're going to do. You know, the real test of character is what takes it to stop him. What it takes to stop you, that'll test your character. See if you have any wisdom at all. Does a spider have more wisdom than you do? He perseveres. He keeps on going. You see, a spider can only make something just for a little while down here on earth. But we can make something for eternity. We can work for the Lord. The things that we do down here, getting the Word of God into ourselves and then giving it to someone else, that's going to last for eternity, brother.
Amen.
So we're in the right track if we have wisdom. In John 8:31, Jesus said, if you are really saved, you'll continue in my word. In so many words, he says. I don't live in fear of someone destroying me, because I will get back up. Bruised and tattered, doesn't matter. So here we find four things we learned. The ant shows us preparation. Prepare for things. Change your life now if you're going to get wisdom. Then you learn from the coney, protection. Run to God. Get your protection. Then you learn from the locusts. Operate by Bible principle. It was the principle that kept all those locusts together. He didn't have a leader. And then the spider, perseverance. And it says that they are exceeding wise. That's why we study them this morning. Do bugs and rodents have more character than you do? I would not let myself continue in that pathetic state if you don't have wisdom. Are bugs wiser than you are? Do something about it. Just don't learn it. Do something about it. May you be wise and get care. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for us being willing to grow as spiritual growth by repetition, by opening our ears and having a right spirit about receiving the truth with meekness. Bless each one that will. Have your will done within our lives. May we make decisions today that will last forever. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take our hymn books as we do, because I invite you to come to the altar and make some right decisions within your life. Number 220 is always the best hymn to sing, I believe. If you need to come, feel free. Bow at this altar and get right with God on something. God will bless you. Let's stand as we sing. Number 220. Help us out here. Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Praise God. If you need counseling or anything, you need taught, get some things off your chest, whatever it is, I'm always here. I'm your servant. I want to serve you. So take that. So remember everything we've talked about this morning, won't you? They're golden nuggets. Apply them to your life. Heavenly Father, send us on our way rejoicing that we have heard the truth, the Holy Spirit, that we would not quench him, but that we would apply these things to our life. We have not attained. We can always grow. Bless us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Fellowship with one another. Oh, okay.
He's a good guy. I had them rip and what?